Hi, this is Arish. Anyone online?
This is Vaibhav.
Hi, I'm sorry, who is this?
Vaibhav Patil.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Jeff Stallman here.
Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, or good afternoon.
Hi, Ravish. Satrupa here.
Hi, Satrupa, how are you?
Good, good.
Can you give it a few minutes for us to join as well? Guys, I think we can get started. Just before we start, I wanted to check, is there anyone who joined new? Who's new to the group?
I'm new. This is Vaibhav Patil, I'm new.
Hi, I would like to just introduce yourself. That would be great.
Sure. So my name is Vaibhav Patil. The company's name is Patient Informatics, a small business innovation research grant applications are what we're putting in process. Our interest in the payer group is mostly value-based care models, see what's out there and see what you guys are working on.
Okay. Anyone else to join you? Okay. So I think we can get started. I just wanted to quickly, add a plug regarding the antitrust policy. I would request anyone who joins the group should review the policy to ensure that we comply with the Linux Foundation antitrust policy. Second is, I know Jeff, I was not able to have the or join the meeting for last two. I know it got canceled, but from the previous meeting, wherein I think I left while we were just still having the discussion. So I know you were kind of taking that meeting to completion. If you want to provide an update where we left off, that would be great, and then I think we can get started.
All right. I'm trying to remember because I wasn't available last week and it was a long time ago at this point. I think we just continued to look and discuss one of the models. I don't remember which model we were talking about that we covered 2 weeks ago. The models for frameworks for selecting. We're
correct,
just
correct, correct.
Yeah. And
yeah, so I think we were discussing various I think decision points.
Right.
Last time.
That's correct. And I don't remember a couple people who weren't there, and so we didn't cover everything in that, and we ran out of time as it was anyway, so that there's a couple areas that never got covered unless they were covered last week or something.
No, actually, last week the meeting got canceled since most of
folks,
you know, kind of...
Then I didn't miss anything.
You didn't. So I think I remember Rich. I don't know if Rich Cole or Tony has joined, because I think they had a few items on the list for them to cover. Is Rich on the call or Tony?
I don't see any of them, either of them listed.
I think they had a couple of pieces for them to cover. I think we can at least go, you know, move forward with the discussion, though. I will try to send out a note. Unfortunately, I'm still traveling, so I've not had a chance to kind of take a break and send a note to everyone who were supposed to join the meeting. So I'll just do that, you know, possibly this week. However, I know we were discussing the decision framework, and in that...
Pardon me.
I would say decision points, if you will, like the multiple writers, the... I know Jeff covered hedge money. We talked about data integrity. I'm just thinking, what would be the best use of time today? Either we can cover some of the ones that, you know, I know I'm not prepared to talk about Tony's and Rich's topics, so either we can have a general discussion, or we can talk about, you know, once we come back and talk, or, you know, have Tony and Rich cover these topics, what would be the next thing that you want to pick up? Any suggestions?
In the absence of suggestions and not wanting to go over work that other people did, I've been collecting frameworks. This is Jeff. I've been collecting frameworks anytime I find them, and I've got a bunch more that we could kind of quickly look at and critique. As well, I believe somebody might have submitted one from Oxford, which I didn't find particularly appealing, but I don't know if anyone's had any.
Jeff, was there any one framework that you found appealing that you want to share with the group? I think that might be a worthwhile exercise.
Yeah, not yet. Okay. I mean, they all seem, in my view, most of the ones I've seen, I haven't had time to go through them all because I keep finding new ones, but most of them seem to be built to justify a decision that's already been made for a particular use case, rather than to really do a true assessment of whether or not something should be done with blockchain. They're very self-serving, and even though they've been issued by some prestigious institutions such as Oxford and the World Economic Forum, I find them really very amateurish. Not that mine is any better, but at least it was a straw man to get started.
Yeah.
I mean, over time, I'll be able to critique. I did develop a critique of this Oxford model, but I don't actually have a copy of that model to show. I'll get that and I'll put it in the deck when I do get it, and I'll add the critique to it.
Do you want to just cover or share your thoughts on that model, or?
Just a minute. Hi, my name is George Pulser. That Oxford model is not available for distribution because I'm still checking with the Oxford folks It was used in their online course, blockchain strategy. I'm also working on the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance side, trying to figure out how to help industry groups with their use cases, building use cases. So that is not going to be available wholesale.
Fair enough.
Okay, I'm sorry. Who's
George? GP.
George
Pulser. Yes.
Okay.
And my goal is because I'm connected with Ron Resnick, who's the executive director. He's now DEF CON meeting up with Brian. We're trying to find some sort of mechanism that where the two organizations that now have an alliance are able to work together on some projects. And that hasn't been finalized. I know there was a press release, but what I've noticed is a lot of special interest groups are struggling to find use cases, and these industry domain experts don't understand how blockchain is different from a traditional database. So I'm working to build out sort of a cheat sheet, and then at a very high level, using multiple templates that are already out there, consolidating that and getting traction with distributing that.
I think that's something that as well we were targeting with this work group as the first activity. And Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's exactly what we are targeting as well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
The challenge is I'm the chairman of the AI and Internet of Things and how it works, how blockchain can decentralize or enable those solutions. At EEA. I'm a member of EEA. I've been part of Hyperledger. I proposed that working group to Hyperledger a year and a half ago. It didn't take off, so I went to EEA. What I'm seeing is they're just people don't need to get trained technically. They need to understand when to use blockchain. So I'm going to propose, and I have proposed to Ron Resnick, the executive director, that we can invite people from Hyperledger to participate in groups, or maybe there's one group where everybody can just join in. I don't know the details of that, but I want to be a facilitator, build the bridge.
So I'm just trying to figure out this energy there. Taking a step back, what you're describing about people don't understand the blockchain or the difference between when to leverage blockchain for a solution rather than, using a simple database. That's the first question that we were trying to answer. Even though we are pair subgroup, we started with that generic question to only to refine it further as we, refine it for pairs. So how do you see, if possible, leveraging this subgroup for the same?
Right. And I think...
Or do you not see that?
No. I think the more people that are focused and understand how to build a specification. I was involved with the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance client technical specification version 2.0 that was just released at DEF CON. And so the process, it was done on GitHub. And the process of having many people contribute to develop a standard or a specification. In this case, it was for client interoperability. And Ethereum has clients, many clients, and the point of this specification is to design interoperability. The reason I'm saying that is that what needs to happen, we need to have a core group or a critical mass of people that are technical but don't fall into getting too technical and understanding what an outsider needs to understand, get trained on. So the courses I've taken from edX on Hyperledger are extremely technical. And it really doesn't need to be technical. And so the first thing that a group like this needs to decide, you know, that this is a process, it's work in progress, and that there need to be deliverables, and end users need to come in and say, I understand this is working well. So it's iterative, the process. And I have a number of people that I'm meeting with that are interested in developing this. And the reason I'm attending here is because I saw that you also have, it's Jeff's specifications or selection criteria. And and there are others out there, and we need to pick and choose the best from each. And I don't know if the first question is, I don't know what the first question is, whether, you know, how do you differentiate from a traditional database? I think it's a complex decision tree. So yeah, how do you go about it? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, I agree with you. It's a complex decision tree coupled with the, you know, the industry layer also. You know, a blockchain in a financial industry may not be the same as in insurance industry, may not be same in as in supply chain. So different aspects of blockchain will solve different problems with respect to the industries, right? So it absolutely is a complex model to address, if you will. And you know, that's one thing that we are also trying to, debate within this group. How should we come up with a generic model and then ability to customize that for a particular industry?
Yes, yes.
Right? And these two things that we are trying to do.
Right. And I think instead of starting at the details, I think we have to set it up at a very high level. Because I can fairly quickly tell you that when a relational database structure will work versus a blockchain, and describing that at that level of abstraction, and then building down is key. So we're doing a proof of concept. We're developing the way I look at this is that the end user, the executive, that don't know about blockchain just need to be guided, and it needs to be compared to the competing technology. I read an article, 85% of the blockchain proof of concepts actually do not need blockchain. So there's already people being misguided when to use blockchain. So start at the very top, and I think it almost like role-playing, explaining to each other, what's the difference between a relational database and doing this? And if you see blockchain as a kind of a database, how is it different?
Yeah. I think that's exactly the discussions that we have been having in the previous meetings, and that's what we are continuing right now as well. So just taking a pause here, did anyone from Rich or Tony has anyone joined yet?
I have a core group of people. I have communicated with Ron and proposed that I believe if we can overcome the differences between the way your Hyperledger operates, which is to develop code, and the way that EEA operates, which is to develop specifications. We both have special interest groups. We both have working groups. We have technical specification group. But really what I see, there's just the industry groups are struggling, and everybody has their version of how to
assess whether a use case is going to be appropriate. And I think use case, it's too early to deal with the use cases. You have to build the upper layer and develop sort of a decision support tool. I'm holding back until I hear from Ron. He's going to have a conversation with Brian to flesh out what this alliance that was advertised is going to look like.
Okay.
But that doesn't keep us, because Enterprise Ethereum Alliance, you have to be a member to participate in the meetings unless you are a speaker. Unless you're invited to be a speaker.
Okay.
It's completely different with Hyperledger. Anybody can participate and contribute. I think it helps if we don't, if we sort of have a neutral, neutral position about this blockchain protocol versus this blockchain protocol, and overcome that sort of, I'm on this side versus that side, and focus on the industry executives that need to be made feel comfortable with this new technology stack.
Okay.
So what were you, how were you, I look at this as developing a product, and you've got versions.
So what we were, just to give you an idea, what we have been doing is, we started in this work group. We looked at various use cases in their industry. We thought, let's start with white paper. Before we start with the white paper, let's talk about when to use blockchain, because this question is going to come up again and again. And that's what we were trying to kind of get into the fundamentals, as when to use blockchain and when to use blockchain from payer perspective as well. That was the second question we were going to answer. We are answering the first question, when to use blockchain and a decision tree for that. That's where we are right now. And we had shared the responsibility of covering one or two aspects by each person in the subgroup. So I think some topics have been covered, some are pending, and that's where I'm expecting, the assignments were with Tony and Rich, who might have not joined yet in this meeting. So the thought processes will continue in the discussion, get to the conclusion, and kind of put something on paper that we all can take a look at and debate. And then, then we'll further customize that for if an executive from payer industry takes a look at that, what questions they will have and how we should modify that to answer their questions.
Right.
That's where we are right now.
So the number one, is there a centralized document in Google where we can all contribute content and manage the content? This is content intense. That's the first thing I did for my group. And I can share with you the content platform that I've shown it to the Ron Resnick, the executive director. And in order to get any traction around this, you have to manage the content. Okay, you can't build something without capturing the content. So let me share with you what I have, because it is open source, foundation neutral. You shared your slide or Jeff's slides. I've incorporated those slides. I have researched and documented similar tools that are a blockchain selection checklist, and I'll put it in one place. Okay.
Okay.
So if I can share, I'd be happy to say, okay, if you want to participate, let's use my Google slides and Google discussions. Let me share what I have. Share. Here we go. Okay, can you see the slide?
Okay, give me 1 second. I'm just trying to get to the speed.
Can anybody see what I've got up on the screen?
Oh, we can see it.
Okay, all right. The reason I'm bringing this up is because it's a way to get everybody focused. You get nowhere if you're floating around slide deck. So everything has to be centralized and there has to be a process to update this document. I worked on this on the GitHub. I think it's a little too early to put this on GitHub, but I see this as a process to develop the way you develop a software or any kind of a product. Design thinking, you have to be agile and you have to control the process. So I've pulled together the summary of the Oxford Blockchain Strategy Framework, which Jeff has already critiqued. Okay, so the Google slide, although it has the ability to do, it allows you to do comments and it has chat. It's not good enough. It's not good to document things. So what I've done is I've created another Google document where the two critiques, Jeff's critique of the Oxford comments and somebody critiqued Jeff's. Okay. Now, can you see the Google Doc?
I am sorry. Yeah. I'm not able to see it. I am, for some reason. That's okay. I mean,
it's visible. There a possibility we can see it.
Okay. The point is, we have just with this feedback, that's enough. We need to digest and we need to sort of step back and say, if you bring, let's say, an executive in, they may be an IT person or they may be a business analyst, maybe a software engineer. What's going to make blockchain deployments successful is if they have the right sort of framework to think about what problems can be solved. So this needs to be mulled over, this critique, and because the blockchain, the Oxford blockchain is very simple. We had close to 1,000 executives that had to, at the end of 7 weeks, come up with a roadmap. Not an easy task. It was not multiple choice, but they actually had to write a business plan of sorts. And so it had to be very practical. So these are the six questions. And the way they thought about this, Oxford thought about this, once you get yes to any of these six, that's what it says here. Then you ask the questions about the protocol layer, network layer, and application layer. Okay. I think the discussion, what I would like to see us do, or my group or our group do, is do kind of role playing. In other words, you have somebody that knows database, understands database, the architecture of a database, relational, record locking, centralized, and we compare that blockchain to a database because most people understand that. And what's the key difference between a relational database and the blockchain. And if we capture that, that could be a starting point. Can anybody, and I've really thought about this, and it took me a while to understand that, you know, what is the core difference between those two technologies? And it isn't really, is there a predictable, repeatable process that lends itself well to automation? I think that's too high of a description. But can anybody take a stab at what the difference, the main difference is between just a relational database and a blockchain database?
Well, this is Jeff. One of the things I would cite right away is the fact that in a blockchain, the records are cryptographically linked so that it becomes tamper evident if it's been corrupted. We're in a database, that's not the case.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I think the other property that I see is the immutability, because I think that's that coupled with the the non-tampering capability gives a whole different meaning to what is being written in the chain and how it can be leveraged, as a proof or a evidence of something that we want to track.
But is immutability and what that means to just an ordinary business analyst or a system architect, that does immutability, that is a new concept, the way blockchain is talking about immutability. Okay, so saying, do you need your records and the transactions that are being recorded in your database, do they need to be immutable?
I don't think that will come as a requirement, if you will. I think that comes as a property of the solution that we are putting together. For example, I mean, if I have to, I'll just give a simple example that a property being registered under some name or, a criminal record that we want in immutable information, which means it cannot be tampered, it cannot be changed, and once written is immutable. So the history that we want to record is what I see as a property, not as a requirement.
Right. So my question to you is, what about all the criminal records that are currently being stored? Is anybody having problems with the government or whoever stores criminal record information? So maybe it's not the right example you're giving, but immutability in a database is not impossible to accomplish without a blockchain. If you have permission and access rights, that the right people are allowed.
I think there is a difference between a permissioned database and a public database that has immutability. A permission, you are already controlling what is being written, and hence, you can control the immutability of the record. But when it comes to a public information that is being written by multiple writers across the board, then the immutability has a whole different meaning, right? So there is this subtle difference that, if you are already controlling everything, what you are going to be writing can be controlled, what you are going to be deleting can be controlled. It's a different thing. But in a public scenario, it's a whole different meaning.
And public is the operative word, because public meaning that it's not a consortium or a private permissioned.
I'll just give you an example of a financial example, but it can be, today if I give you an unsecured loan, right, I have to have a legal document, involve a third party to do it. But if I am doing it publicly and it's in an immutable record, which means it can be used as a proof to say that, yes, I, you know, lent you some money, and it's recorded publicly in the ledger in a distributed fashion. You agreed to it, you took it, I agreed to it, I lent you the money, and it's an unsecured loan, right? But there is a public proof for that. That's where the immutability comes into picture, right? I'm just giving a hypothetical example just to kind of, you know, make sense of what we are talking about immutability when it comes to public records. Right. Privately, you can do whatever you want with the database. There is no question about it.
Yeah. So you are saying that if you architect a relational database properly, you can accomplish what you could with a blockchain.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's where we have had this challenge in this group. A lot of use cases that we are talking about is we are questioning if this can be achieved with database. What is that we are trying to achieve here? And that's where this whole discussion came up, that let's be very clear. When do we want to use blockchain? When it is going to be useful? And, you know, and that's where this whole discussion spawned off. Because every other use case we are trying to bring up seems to be, I can achieve this with the database.
I know. Yeah, I understand. So I think we have to iterate through this and get clarity how we think about this. Because as Jeff said, the immutability happens with a specific type of mechanism, cryptographically, hashes that are embedded in the transactions. So that immutability, without getting too technical, because you don't want to, you know, if the end users or the people in the business, the industry, you start telling them what immutability is in cryptographic, you're going to lose them. So you will. And really what I'd like to see is that there is this end user friendly exercise to think and walk through this. And that's not going to happen easily. If you take a look at these six questions from Oxford, the sixth question is there value in an immutable record? Okay. how vague can you get? But it is the sixth question, and I suspect they asked that question last because you have to do some other thinking. The other five. But I'm not saying that this really worked, because I can't tell you how confused some of the executives were in the Oxford blockchain, because I read a lot of papers, roadmaps, and they just didn't understand it. But I think if this industry, besides, you know, the technical specification, the standards that are of interoperability that's coming out, I think this isn't something these kind of selection strategies is something we have to keep coming back with and refining and capturing the information. So immutability, that is different from it. I guess the question would be, how's the immutability different from a database?
Yep. So I think I just wanted to take a pause here. You have plenty more minutes. So I just wanted to figure out, I think we had, you know, for various reasons due to the attendance and all, the last two meetings we were not able to, have. I want to just take this time to structure for the next few meetings, so I can kind of send out a note, revive the discussion around this. George, I mean, we are having these discussions, absolutely, and that's something that we are working on as well. If there is I know you were talking about some announcement came in, and we're just trying to figure out how, if it makes sense for you to, you know, work with this group to kind of further help us refine, and if there are synergies, absolutely, I think that would be great. But nonetheless, I just wanted to take this time to kind of restructure to make sure that we are able to proceed and, you know, generate some deliverables from this work group to the community.
Yes, I'll fall in with whatever, however you guys move forward with this, and hopefully we can structure a way to capture this information and refine it.
Okay. And Jeff and Satrupa and others, I mean, just wanted to hear your comments on, you know, I want to make sure that we are making progress and that there are some deliverables that we're generating. I know we started the discussion and then we had a pause there, but nonetheless, do you guys agree that we should kind of take it to completion in next couple of meetings and then start putting that on paper and have a, you know, centralized document that we can work on?
Yeah, I would definitely like to finish what we started working on. This is Satrupa. So we were working through the decision flow chart that Jeff, I think you had, right? And then if we... I think we should finish discussing it in the meetings and then put it up for collaborative feedback and see if we can turn it into a framework that we ourselves can then use to apply for some of the payer use cases that we were working through earlier.
Okay. Jeff, any thoughts? Because I'm thinking I will kind of resend that note with the responsibilities and kind of request, you know, whoever took the responsibility to come back and bring it to closure. And if they cannot for some reason, if they are stuck for some reason, maybe we can reassign those responsibilities and move on so we can actually get to the, you know, completion of the discussion and then, you know, start putting something on paper.
Well, I agree. I'd like to continue moving forward. I'm wondering if with Tony and Rich's absence, if it might be worth assigning other people to do that. And if we end up with two opinions, so much the better, but better two opinions than none in case they miss a subsequent meeting.
Yeah. Let's do this. I am thinking, since we just have, 15 minutes left, I'm just thinking I will try to send out a quick reminder for everyone to kind of, you know, come back. And then I would also suggest, I would request Nick and Tony to respond back. I know Steve also took one of the items. I don't know whether it was covered last week or not, but I just kind of resend the status. These were the six things on the list, and here are the people responsible. These have been completed. And if you have not completed and you do not plan to, just let us know. And if anyone within this group at this point in time feels that they can pick up one of those items, so let's discuss those next week and, you know, start progressing, you know, forward.
Why don't we, among the people on the call, if we have takers for some of these, I would suggest that we sign them up today while we're on the line. And as I say, the worst thing that could happen is about two people with a response. That's not a problem.
Yeah, this is Joe. I'm not exactly sure what items you have, but I would be willing to work on something.
Okay, we'll go back up to the first slide. Who's ever
I can cover what was on the list. I have it handy.
Let's look at slides. Slide six, though. Slide six will show you the where they fall. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ravish, and say which things are open.
I'm sorry, Jeff, I have the list in front of me. I can quickly summarize.
Yes.
And then if there are anyone takers, we can go from there. So I think many writers, it was on me. I covered that in the previous meeting. Then it was incentives, which Tony was supposed to cover. Hegemony, I believe, Jeff, you covered in the last meeting, if I remember.
Yes.
And data integrity, I don't know whether you were able to get to it last time or not.
Yes, I did.
Okay. And then there were parties that I believe Rich was covering. I don't think that was covered. For tampering, it was on me. It has not been covered yet. Attack, which was Steve, I believe. I don't know whether that was covered or not. And then recourse, that was with Tony. So I believe we have...
So you said parties, attack. Right?
Yes.
All right. So, and is this slide deck available somewhere?
Absent the first three slides, the rest of it's posted.
Okay.
So I would suggest if anyone wants to take on Rich's or Tony's or Steve's.
Sorry, which ones are open? So parties and?
Incentives, divergent incentives.
Attack incentives or diverging incentives?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think both.
Yeah, I can take on diverging incentives. I will miss next week's meeting though, since I will be at Distributed Health.
Okay.
What does that mean, diverging incentives?
And the players, the stakeholders in the solution have diverging incentives. So there might be, you know, if they all have the same, if they all have converging incentives, there's less likelihood you would want to go to blockchain because no one's going to corrupt the data. If you have diverging incentives, there's a reason that you might want to try to alter the data in your favor.
So what we're trying to do is ask what should be the guiding question to
answer? Well, if people have diverging concept of diverging incentives and how that would suggest that we want to consider blockchain or we don't need to consider blockchain. And so just asking the question diverging incentives suggests blockchain might be a candidate, but you might want to ask several more questions to pin it down even further. You know, maybe is the value of corrupting the data, you know, sufficiently high that someone would likely corrupt it.
Well, any application that is brings value by automation, the answer is going to be, can you think of any application where somebody wouldn't want to corrupt or distort the data on a database?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The donor milk use case, no one seemed to be interested in trying to corrupt the data. Everyone wanted to get the donor milk moving through the system, which is why I thought it was a bad use case. They had no issues of anyone trying to change anything.
So what is the difference between that and the attack incentive? I mean, isn't that part of the incentive to attack or not?
Yeah.
Possibly. You know, when I thought this up, I don't remember all of my thoughts at the time. I had a different view at that time, but I don't remember what it was.
Gotcha.
There is a difference between the divergent incentives and attack, because divergent incentives are still related to the parties involved in the chain, and attack can be outside the chain as well.
That's right. That's right. Correct. There you go. That is the difference. It's a matter of diverging incentives is among the participants. Attack incentives is third parties who aren't members of the blockchain who might have an incentive to attack it.
Right. Okay.
So I'm just cautious of time. We just have a few more minutes. So anyone else who can pick up any of these items? I think we have incentives, we have parties, attack, and recourse. These four topics that someone needs to pick up.
Right. I thought
Satarupa said she'd take diverging incentives.
Satarupa. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said I'd do untrusted parties. So.
Okay.
And I mean, I can give a shot at attack incentives at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that's too much to take on or not, but well, no. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, I know we're short on time, but it would be interesting to just quickly walk through these points and see if asking them in a simple language actually yields a yes or no response.
Well, what we concluded when I presented this the first time, which I think was a very valid conclusion, is that these were kind of high-level concepts, and while I tried to make this a single-threaded chain, we realized that each of these questions embodied more complexity, which is what we're now trying to break down. So in slide 7 and 8, where I decomposed two of those, you see that they ended up with different questions. It wasn't a simple answer.
I'm curious, George, what did you mean by user-friendly questions? Are the questions not simple enough? Is that
No. It's just diverging incentives. I'm still processing the information. I understand diverging incentives, but that is, you know, a complex way of saying the, you know, diverging incentives. You mean that each party that is going to use the application has different motivations to use the application, and that motivation could lead them to cheat?
Yeah, I mean, yes. Basically,
yep.
That's correct.
So,
I mean, the actual questions are in the speaker notes for that slide. I just had to fit them into the parallelogram.
Yes, I see. Yeah. And just, you know, ask yourself if you put somebody that doesn't know the blockchain but may know databases, you know, if he walks through these questions, are they going to walk away with, you know, okay, I get it. I can now go and find a use case where this is appropriate. And I think if that first shot of somebody saying, I get it, I can now go find a use case and then drill down further, if we don't provide that initial step to not scare them away with words like hegemony, I love that word. It's one of my favorite. And I know that you have it further refined, but if we think about the user interface, you know, we're building a user interface where the user has to be guided through this process. That is my concern, is that we use the right kind of language.
So one thing I wanted to ask, since I missed that first meeting where you presented, Jeff, is the user of this framework going to be an executive?
We didn't define who the user would be. It was presumed that that solution developers would use this to decide, given a set of requirements, is it appropriate to use blockchain or not?
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. Solution developers. So what I'd like to try is, I'm going to study this again. I'm going to review Oxford, and I think juxtaposing this to a relational database. A relational database is easy to understand, which is there's one client, there's one server running. That server is the central. It record locks. It has the engine that does integrity record locking, and anything outside of that is part of the application where the users are given permission to access that database. I think the way I would, the elevator pitch, I would have to immediately compare it to either an Excel spreadsheet or a relational database, and start. You know, the other thing is when you start a blockchain network, the key concept is that you have many nodes that replicate the data. And those nodes are peer-to-peer communication. So it is decentralized. So that concept that differentiates it from a relational database is not difficult to understand, but it is core.
I don't think it is core, because you could distribute a relational database in multiple locations and have multiple copies of it just the same.
Yeah, but then you have big data, kind of Hadoop type of distributed processing. Okay, yeah, but I think this is I need to understand myself. You're absolutely right. You can distribute the databases across multiple machines.
I think the key in the blockchain distribution is that each party has a full copy of the transaction ledger.
But that's not necessary.
That's not necessarily true. It isn't true. The only reason you'd want to replicate it across all the data across multiple nodes is if the network requirements are that, you know, X number of nodes have to be replicated so that it there's no single point of failure.
Well, the consensus building nodes have to have a copy of it. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's true.
Yes, that's what I meant. Not every node.
Can I suggest something? I think we're running out of time. I just want to make sure that we have clarity on what's the next on the list for next week. So I think you took the divergent incentives, and George, you were taking the attack and the parties. There anyone else who can take the recourse? Okay. What I will do is I will just send out a notification with these responsibilities, asking, obviously, I don't want to disarm Tony and Rich. They have been a regular attendee of the meeting as well. So I will request them, but we will be prepared just in case any of them not joining. We will continue our course of discussion. Make sense?
Yes.
Yes, and Ravish, I will be missing next week's meeting.
You'll not be able to join the meeting next week?
Right. I will be at Distributed Health Conference.
Not a problem. We will... Is that confusing?
I'm sorry, your voice was breaking up. Was there a question?
No. I was just curious. Is that on that on the Tuesday? I'm just thinking, will others be able to join? Will we have a quorum next week? Let me send out the information, and if you cannot join next week, that's fine. We'll continue the discussion. Whoever can join and can cover these topics, and then come back. You can cover yours the following.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I really liked the discussion we were having toward the end, where we were honestly debating. I think if we do a little bit of that, we can clarify a lot of this for ourselves and for other people.
Yeah, and let me just chime in. And I think we need to manage our expectations where sort of a structured debate, we need to be able to walk away and say, we don't have the answers, because, as soon as we raise an issue and you think we have a differentiating factor, somebody chimes in and says, well, that's not actually the case. In especially in light of the fact that you have third generation protocols not coming out. So to arrive at the essence is going to be a journey.
So I agree, and that's what I am worried about. I don't want this to become an intellectual exercise only. It would be good to put things on paper. As we start doing that, George, I think the structure will come into picture. Otherwise, okay. We keep having the discussion and missing the points. So, which is what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I think we have a plan then. Next week, we will cover these pending topics. And I think that should be the trigger for let's start putting on paper our pieces, what we covered, and we can then synthesize that paper and refine that collectively.
Okay. And where are we continuing the discussion? If we have questions, there's the Rocket Chat, right? Is anybody using that? Is there a channel set up for this group?
I think, personally, I pay more attention to the emails.
Okay. Okay, emails.
Hashtag that you want to put under for keeping it sorted for the pair subgroup, I would definitely add that hashtag. As long as we can do that, I think we should be able to kind of cover this.
Okay. All right, so which two did you say, and what is the assignment exactly? Did you say that I'm supposed to come back with some follow-up info?
The topics that we are supposed to cover, I will just put the topic and the name in front of it and the second name in front of it. For example, if the trust sheet parties was going to be covered by Rich, I'll put his name and your name, George. And if Rich is able to join next week, he will cover that and you can share your thoughts. If he's not able to join, you can cover that topic.
I think there's some confusion. It's Joe. I thought I was the one that volunteered.
So, okay, I thought it was
trusted parties.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm happy to share, but I just didn't want to, like.
No, it wasn't clear. Yeah. It wasn't clear that I thought it was my name.
Yeah, let's just be clear. I think trusted parties, is it going to be Joe who's covering it or George?
Joe.
Okay. And then attack is going to be covered by George or Joe?
I think you said Joe also.
I had volunteers for both of those.
Right.
But
yeah, I think Joe.
Okay, Joe.
What I'd like to do is develop a matrix that compares it to a relational database and really have that sort of the first level of understanding by contrast.
Do you want to cover that as well next week? I assume this is George, right?
Yes. I will work on some. I will work on that, and have a sort of a decision tree, relation or a matrix that says here's a traditional relational database. Maybe even go into some of these distributed databases such as Hadoop. And the benefits of Hadoop is more for processing big data across multiple nodes. But I will include that because more people know Hadoop type of structure than they know blockchain data structure. So I'll put that together.
Okay. Any other questions or doubts for the next week? I will send out an email as well, just to ensure that we don't miss it.
Yeah, not for next week, but I'm wondering if I would be interested in coming up a framework for executives on whether they should fund a blockchain project or not in their companies, what those questions would look like.
We may have already drilled down too far with these questions. And I think that's the level I would like to approach it. Is executives, can you put these questions in front of an executive and make them feel like, not that they have the final answer, but they can at least have a framework to think about it. And you have to have some place that they're familiar with. Everybody knows relational databases. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, so we can take it up in a future meeting, Ravish. Just wanted to throw it out while.
Exactly. My thought process is as Jeff talked about, the solution designers, once we have the right questions, it will be easier to kind of project that for executives and realign that to the executives. I think that would be a good exercise for later as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I have not been able to convince my husband, who manages products, why you should even look at blockchain. So I'm still trying to answer for him why you should even spend even a minute reading about this stuff.
Another suggestion is, another way to approach this is, besides the comparing it to a traditional relational database, is to actually find a use case in supply chain, value chain, where you can demonstrate that this would not work with building it in a traditional relational database. I will also work on that because I know there are use cases out there where there are blockchains that have been deployed where it's very obvious that a blockchain is needed. So I'll have the relational database comparison, and then I'll come with sort of a checklist saying, here's the checklist, and this is a working blockchain application, and see if you can poke a hole in it, why a relational database wouldn't work. I think the ultimate document for executives has to be almost interactive. You have to put it into the context. You have to get them engaged to think about it, look at the old versus the new. So that kind of setup is what I'm looking for. A relational database comparison, and then take a look at a really good use case that anybody can understand, and use that as the, can you show us that a relational database would do the same, be able to accomplish the same thing? So I'll come next week with something like that, or at least the beginning to that.
Okay.
Awesome.
Cool. I think we have a plan for next week then.
Yep.
Let's proceed with that, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Yeah. Cool. Bye. All right. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.